to Abiding in God's Grace Ministries podcast. Thank you for joining us, tuning in, and listening. We are so very blessed and very honored to have each and one of you join us. You are the reason why we started this ministry. You are the reason we do and continue this ministry. To give honor and glory and to serve the Lord our God, as well as for you, our beautiful brothers and sisters in Christ. We are doing a long segment and we are going to be discussing a bunch of things all at once. I apologize for that. I just got water dumped on me somehow. All right. I'm going to go ahead and do a prayer. And then we're going to dive right in. So if you will all please join me. Bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Lord, we thank you for blessing us with waking us up and blessing us with another day and another day to be with one another. Lord, we ask that you please forgive us of all our sins, all our transgressions, and all our iniquities. And we thank you so much, Lord, for coming to earth and for sacrificing yourself and for paying our sin debt, for making an atonement for us back to the Father, for redeeming us with your blood. We thank you for defeating death and conquering hell, and we thank the Father for raising you from the dead, for resurrecting you 3 days later. Lord, we thank you for preaching to your disciples for 40 days, and we thank the Father for ascending you into heaven on the right side of his throne. Lord, we thank you for your promise on that mountain before your ascension. You promised your disciples, and not only your disciples, Lord, but you promised them and every single generation from them up until now that you were going to prepare a place for us, for in your Father's house there are many mansions, and you promised that you would return for us. Lord, we know that you are a just, holy, perfect God. We know that you do not lie. You cannot lie. And you cannot and you do not break your promises. We hold fast to your promises and to your word. Lord, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us. We ask that you make us more holier, more righteous, more godlier. We ask that you make us better children, better parents, better spouses, better humans, better fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we ask, Lord, that you give us an unquenchable thirst, hunger, longing, and desire for your word and your ways, your statutes, and your commandments. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and help us, Lord. Help us to lean on you and your word and your will and not our own understanding. Father, we come to you through your precious Son, Yeshua, wholeheartedly and humbly. We seek you. We ask that you bless every single listener, that you bless them and their families and bring them peace and comfort, and that you give them eyes to truly see and ears to truly hear. We ask that you send your holy angels to guard and protect the outside of our homes against all evil and against the evil one. Lord, we ask that you send your holy angels to protect and guard the inside of our homes, every corner and every room from all evil and from the evil one, and that they protect us when we're together, Lord, and when we're apart from all evil and from the evil one. Lord, we ask that you deliver us from all evil and that you deliver us from the evil one and that you keep us from the hour of temptation. Lord, we ask that you help us to put on the full armor of you every single morning before we even get out of bed and before our feet hit the floor. We ask, Lord, that you help us to remain strong and courageous in you, and that you help us to fight the good fight of faith for you and through you and for your name. Lord, we ask that you help us to glorify you in all that we say, think, and do. We ask and pray all these things in your precious almighty name. We love you, Lord. Amen. Thank you all for joining for our prayer. Since we just got done praying, I'm going to switch it up and do something a little bit different. I had a full sermon prepared, and we'll get to that later. Got nothing but time, right? Unfortunately, that's not true. For we know that we are in the end times. We are living in Revelation. We are living in the last of the last days. I want to talk about praying. Teach us to pray. That's what's coming to my mind. Teach us to pray. Someone say that out loud. Say, Lord, teach us to pray. Say it. Say it out loud. All right, so this is what the Lord's putting on my heart. Prayer is a humble plea directed to God the Father, Yahweh, in the name of his precious Son, Yeshua. Prayer is expressing ourselves to a loving Father in heaven. In prayer, our spirit communicates with God either through words spoken or even in our thoughts. God wants us to speak with him. Every single one of you. If you're living in sin, say you're fornicating, homosexuality, addiction, alcoholism, a thief, a murderer, an adulterer, God still wants you to speak with him. He wants you to repent of every single sin, transgression, and iniquity that you sin against him. He wants you to repent for it and of it. He wants you to believe the gospel and to call on his precious Son, Yeshua. Our last episode was dedicated to our godly women. It's Christian women support. However, all you godly men out there, we highly recommend that you listen to it, because everything that we said for our godly women, that applies to you godly men. So when you're listening to it, every time you hear about a woman, replace it with a man. Same concept. We may come to God with our thankfulness, with our request, with our disappointments, with our burdens. Upon praying for the first time, some people say they feel strange, as if they are speaking to nothing. This is what Satan wants you to believe, that you will not pray again. The truth is that the Bible assures us that wherever we are, and whatever hour it may be, God hears our sincere request. If you will, open your Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 14. That's what's coming to mind. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. While you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and say the verse. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Again, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. See, prayer is talking to God, speaking directly to Him in a frank, direct, and sincere manner, telling Him all that you feel, all that you need, and even some of what you want. If you do not understand why you feel as you do, tell God about it. There are things that I pray about and talk to God about that I don't do with anybody else, because it's personal and specifically for God.
The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Read Romans chapter 8, verse 26. When you are frustrated and discouraged, or happy and thankful, express yourself to God. It is important, extremely vital and crucial to be honest in prayer. God wants to hear how we really feel down deep inside. You need to understand that God knows all. He knows everything that we ever thought, anything that we think. He knows every word ever spoken, whispered, yelled, or uttered, past, present, and future. He knows every deed, every action, everything that we have ever done, ever do, and ever will do. Again, God knows past, present, and future. God knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. And so the Lord does not want you to lie. If you're praying to Him, you are not truly praying, truly communicating, truly talking, truly communing with the Lord. You are not truly repentful and remorseful of your sins against Him. You're not truly anything if you're lying and being dishonest in prayer in any type of way, shape, or form. That's an even bigger insult to the Lord. It's like adding salt to a wound. God wants us to be raw, authentic, real, honest, truthful, humble when we come to Him in prayer, when we talk to Him, whether it's verbal or even just talking in our head to Him or in our hearts. And God wants to know how we truly, really feel, because He loves us so much. He is such a loving, caring, nurturing Father. He is a perfect, holy Father. And He loves us so much. So He genuinely cares and genuinely wants to know how we feel, why we feel, what we need, what we think we need, and what we want and what we think we want. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him that we have with no other. Our greatest relationship outside of our relationship with God, through God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, is our relationships with our spouses, because God modeled marriage after our relationship with Him. All of us, every single one of us, men, women, boys, and girls, we are all the bride of Christ, the church. Yeshua is the bridegroom, the husband. We are supposed to be honest, faithful, and humble with our spouses, kind and loving and forgiving, always extending mercy, whether it's needed or not. Here's the thing. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. We don't deserve God's mercy or kindness or anything. We don't deserve anything from the Lord. We deserved death for our sin. But because God loves us so much, because Yahweh loves us and wants us to return to Him, He came to earth in human form. He sent His only begotten Son, the Word, Yeshua, to earth to be crucified, to pay our sin debt, and to make atonement back to Him, through Him. So He paid our sin debt. He defeated death and conquered hell, and the Father resurrected Him from the dead 3 days later. He ascended into heaven after preaching to His disciples on a mountain for 40 days. And when He ascended, He made two promises that we hold fast to as true children of God, as true believers and followers of Christ, that He was going to prepare a place for us. For in His house are many mansions. For in His Father's house there are many mansions. And secondly, that He would return for us. But we still don't deserve it. You can never earn forgiveness. You can never earn salvation. You can never earn going to heaven into God's kingdom by any works that you do of your own. It is only by God's grace and mercy, loveness and kindness that He extends to us the beautiful, wonderful plan of salvation through His only begotten Son, Yeshua. And we are supposed to show our spouses that same gratitude and mercy and forgiveness, especially if we ask it of the Lord. So always remember that God wants us to be honest in prayer, and that He wants to hear how we really, truly feel deep down inside. Listen to what God may have to tell you. He speaks to us by giving impressions and thoughts. These may come while we are praying. Even the words that we pray can be the result of impressions given by God, led by the Holy Ghost. God wants to communicate His will to us. He may do this during prayer or even afterward. He speaks through His Spirit, through the Bible, through the verses in Scripture, and through His servants. When we pray, we need to shut out the distractions of the world around us and concentrate completely on our communion with God. While we can pray in any place and in any position, we need a quiet place if possible. As we close our eyes and kneel in reverence to God, we are better able to meditate. Our attention needs to be focused on Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And as many of you who have been following along with us, who are subscribed and follow us on all social media platforms, you know I normally do the Lord's Prayer, and that I feel that the Lord's Prayer is of great importance. After all, the Lord's Prayer is the model for which we are to pray. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Verse 7. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. See, in regard to the heathen, or Gentiles, the vain repetitions, babbling, rambling, are apparently attempts to manipulate God into fulfilling some desire of the petitioner by repeating a supposed magic formula, not merely the petition of words. We learn from Yeshua's instruction and his own religious lifestyle that prayer is an important aspect of a disciple's righteousness. Some people say, but I do not know what words to use or how to express myself to God. It may be that we say this because we imagine that we need to use a different vocabulary so God will hear us. We think that we must use many words and speak in a beautiful and elegant manner in order to get his attention. In reality, the Bible gives us various examples of prayer, which are very short and simple, and God respected them. Look at the book of Luke. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the book of Matthew or the Lord's Prayer or even the book of Luke. I'm hoping that many of you read your Bibles, and that if any of you came to us who really didn't read the Bible, that you're finding a relationship with the Lord, that you have accepted him, and you have accepted salvation, that you are born again, which we have talked about in previous episodes. So, while we're talking about the books of Matthew and Luke, we already did Matthew, and I want to get into the Lord's Prayer here in a little bit, but I would like if you all would please, if you will, turn to the book of Luke. Go to chapter 18. See, for example, a certain man who was a sinner prayed, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke 18:13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house, justified rather than the other, for every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Well, if you look at chapter 18, verses 11 through 13, the Pharisee's words are a stark contrast to the publican, which is a tax collector, who can't even hold his head up before God. The Pharisee not only does not want God's grace, but disdains it. The reason in his mind is that he does not need it. For his righteousness, law-keeping as he defines it, is sufficient indeed, more than enough. And if we look at verse 14, which we just read, able to speak for God, Yeshua declares the second man justified rather than the first. See, this parable helps explain why those who weep and mourn are blessed. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 21. The Sermon on the Mount, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22. Blessed are ye which men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil, for the Son of Man's sake. Verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25. Woe unto you that are fulfilled, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. So what does this mean? If we look at chapter 6, verses 18 through 20, a large number have come to benefit from Yeshua's great healing power, yet Yeshua uses this as an opportunity to teach. Luke indicates that Yeshua's words were addressed primarily to his disciples. Verses 20 through 26 is how Yeshua does not attribute any instinct or intrinsic value to being poor, nor is there any automatic evil in being rich. Yeshua says, blessed be ye poor. Not blessed are all who are poor. Luke's account suggests that the poor in this case are the disciples who have chosen poverty in order to follow Yeshua. It is not simply being poor that is blessed, but being poor for Christ's sake. Likewise, there is no instructive merit in being rejected and persecuted, as we see in chapter 6, verse 22, but only in being thus treated on Christ's account. Read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. The joy of serving Yeshua will more than compensate for the things that the disciples gave up in order to serve. And it's the same for us today. Now another sinner, broken and contrite, prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Luke 23:42. And actually, this is such a great example, and I'm going to tell you why. If you will, please turn to Luke chapter 23. Go to verse 39 to start with. Earlier, we discussed being honest, sincere, and humble when we talk to God. To be honest and tell Him how we really feel. We learned how many people do certain things to make their prayer about them. And this passage, should I say, is one of the best examples in complete honesty. Starting at verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "If thou be Christ, save thyself and us." He didn't ask for repentance of anything that he did. He didn't want to have to do anything. He didn't even care that Yeshua, who was perfect, who was blameless and sinless, was getting crucified. These two malefactors both committed a crime to end up where they were. But here is the Messiah, the Christ, the only begotten Son of God, our Heavenly Father. And he was blameless, perfect, the only perfect person to ever walk the face of this earth. And he, as our Lord and Savior, was dying, crucified, not because he did anything wrong, but to save us, because he loved us so much. He gave up his life so that through him we will have life. Let's look at verse 40. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?" Verse 41. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." Verse 42. "And he said unto Yeshua, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." So beautiful. Understand, brothers and sisters, especially when you go to read the chapter of 23, when you get to chapter 23, verse 33, Calvary means the skull. But something you need to understand also about this passage about Christ being crucified is that crucifixions were gory and gruesome. Yet Luke spares us many of those details. He says simply that Yeshua is crucified along with criminals. But if you knew what he went through, if you've seen the documentaries that we've seen that go off of what crucifixion was like back then, and he had it worse than anybody. They gave him the worst punishment. No mercy, even though he showed it to them. Moving on to verse 43. "And Yeshua said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." A simple prayer. He acknowledged Christ by rebuking the one malefactor by saying to him, "Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And then he turned to Yeshua, and his simple prayer, after he acknowledged Yeshua, his simple prayer, just two little lines, and he said unto Yeshua,
Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. So simple. And yet, even though it was so simple of a prayer, and even though it was a prayer of very, very little to none words, it had more sincerity, more humbleness, more love and kindness, more empathy, and more depth than what many comprehend today, and more than what many even do today. And we might as well finish verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth unto the ninth hour. Verse 45. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. Verses 44 through 46 is, the sixth hour is noon by Jewish timekeeping, so the darkness must have been eerie. Nevertheless, it provided an appropriate setting for the Savior of the world to commit His Spirit into the hands of His Heavenly Father. Meanwhile, the curtain in the temple that veiled the most holy place and Ark of the Covenant is torn in half. Following the death of Yeshua, people will henceforth be able to approach God boldly without requirement of animal sacrifice or priestly intervention. Yeshua forever fulfills both essential roles, sacrifice and priest. Read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. He made that atonement for us. God does not require a special form of speech for prayer. The Bible contains many, 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 many prayers of men from various backgrounds, with no two prayers being alike. For our prayers to be effective, we must come in humility before the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. That is a verse that is very well scripted. Very important. Actually, if we turn there really quick, why don't you, if you have your Bibles, which I hope you do, turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Because see, chapter 7, verses 12 through 14 of 2 Chronicles, it's Solomon's prayer is answered with a tremendous promise. God will hear His children's cry for repentance and forgive the people's sins and heal their land. This promise is especially powerful considering that the original audience for whom the chronicler was writing was the remnant of Jews who had returned home from their Babylonian exile. A promise of restoration would have
given them great hope. Very beautiful. Understand, my beloved, that to become better acquainted with the Lord, we must respond to the directions we receive, especially in regard to turning away from any and all sins. Please understand that as we communicate daily with the Lord, He gives us vision, stabilizes our lives, and grants our petitions. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Pray in the precious almighty name of Yeshua. He said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." John chapter 14, verse 13. See, we have no merit of our own. We can only come to God in prayer through His only begotten Son, Yeshua. Pray often. Pray often and daily, multiple times a day. Listen for and to His voice when He speaks. Obey those inner promptings that He ever so graciously and kindly gives us. Luke chapter 11, verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." How beautiful is that? To wrap up just a little bit about prayer before we move on to other things to talk about, let's do one of the most important ones, the Lord's Prayer. And again, for those of you who don't know or don't remember where the Lord's Prayer is, or for those who are new to our channel and are new subscribers and new listeners, the Lord's Prayer is always in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Okay, so hopefully you all have turned to the Lord's Prayer, which is always in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." What I love about the Lord's Prayer is it's our blueprint, our design on how to pray. It's our prayer model. See, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, understand that these verses contain what is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Some take exception to this name and prefer to call this the model prayer. Certainly, it is intended to be a model prayer. Yeshua's words, opening verse 9, indicate this clearly. But in contrast to model prayers taught by others, John the Baptist to his disciples, this is Yeshua's model prayer. So it can legitimately be referred to as the Lord's Prayer. From what we know of Judaism in Yeshua's day, his model prayer is shaped by the prayer tradition. The prayer tradition and pattern of the synagogue. The primary concern is a redemptive theme, not concern for mundane earthly matters. I love chapter 6, starting with verse 8, because, again, like previously stated, it's the Lord's Prayer. It's our model prayer. If you don't know what to say or how to say it, I advise you to study the Lord's Prayer. Study the Bible in general, but when it comes specifically to prayer, always turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. Moving on to verse 14, which is another reason why I love this specific part of the chapter 6, is it explains a little bit more. So chapter 6, and going with verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You cannot expect the Lord our God to forgive you of any sins, any transgressions or iniquities, if you don't forgive others. You have to forgive those who aren't even sorry, those who don't even apologize, those who do apologize, but it's meaningless and they're just doing it so they don't have to deal with the consequences of what they did. Whatever the case may be, you have to forgive everybody of everything, no matter how hard it is. And that's when it is hard, when it's the hardest to forgive somebody, that's when you go to the Lord in prayer. Tell him, be honest with him. He knows. Verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's why so many people literally go into their closets to pray, or they make a prayer room. It can be their bathroom, their closet, their bedroom, a spare room, wherever they go to devote their prayer. A place in secret where they can go to be alone and intimate with the Lord. So basically, what this is we went through chapter 6, verse 7, what that meant earlier in this episode. We just discussed verses 9 through 13 with the Lord's Prayer. But if we look at verses 16 through 18, what those verses are specifically about is, again, how Yeshua's contrasts a disciple's righteous behavior with that of the Jewish leaders whose fasting had become a performance of righteousness. Fasting is an interesting subject as it is. This is a Jewish practice that is more traditional than biblical, in the sense that fasting was not commanded, but practiced. We read of people in scripture fasting, but nowhere does it seem that it is commanded. Rabbinic tradition informs us that the stricter Jews fasted regularly on special days such as Mondays and Thursdays. From what we learn in the Gospels, Yeshua is neither proposing that disciples fast nor condemning the practice of fasting. He simply speaks out against hypocritical fasting, which had as its goal to be noticed. The Bible is our blueprint as well. Our Bible tells us how to act, how not to act, how to be, how not to be, how to speak, how not to speak, and so forth. Every question that you could ever possibly have, the answer is in the Bible. The blueprint on everything of how we should be, what God requires and expects of us, so forth. Everything, the literal blueprint of our lives, of our relationship with the Lord, of everything, is in Scripture, in the Holy Bible. I want to talk about being a prayer warrior as we wrap up our Teach Us to Pray segment. We accept prayer warriors all the time. We get tons of prayer requests, and we ask y'all for prayers for our ministry and for others as well. But you can actually join Abiding in God's Grace Ministries to be a prayer warrior. It's called a AIGGM prayer warrior, which stands for Abiding in God's Grace Ministries prayer warrior. If you are interested in that, email us at abidinginGod'sGrace@yahoo.com, or look us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, here on Anchor, and so forth. Send us a message, private message us on social media, send us an email, comment on any of our social media sites, or leave us a message here on our podcast if you are interested in becoming one of our prayer warriors. I want to do a prayer of a martyr, how we should be. If you will bow your head and close your eyes. O Lord God, Father of our Lord Yeshua, I give thee thanks for that thou, through thine only begotten Son, I have escaped the threats of impious men and passed with unsullied footsteps over the filthy slough of the devil. And behold now, through the Holy Ghost, I am sprinkled with heavenly dew. The furnace grows cold at my side, and the flame is divided asunder, and the heat of the fire poured back on those by whom it was kindled. I bless thee, O Father of my Lord Yeshua, who permitted me to come to thee, undaunted even in the midst of flames. Lo, now what I have believed, that I see, what I have hoped, that I now hold, what I have desired, that I embrace. Thee I confess with my lips, with my heart, and all my being. I desire thee. Behold, I come to thee, the one and true and only living God, who with our Lord Yeshua the Son and with the Holy Ghost livest and reignest through all eternity. My prayer exercise for you is: ask God to make you brave today. Talk with Him about how specifically you will exercise His bravery to do the right and good thing during the challenges you face today, and bravery to do the right and good things during the challenges that are coming. We are living in the end times. We are living Revelation. We are living in the last of the last days. The end of the world, the Armageddon, people have called it apocalypse, whatever you want to word it, is coming. The second coming of the Lord is coming soon. The kingdom of God is at hand. And God's wrath and God's judgment is coming, whether you like it or not. There is nothing any of us can do. I don't care if you're a human, if you're a demon, if you're a demonic entity, if you're a fallen angel, if you're the Nephilim. Nobody can stop or change God's will. Creation can never outdo the Creator. Thank Him in advance for the courage and strategies He will grant you. I remember of this story when I was doing my studies. Just learning and getting everything to get into ministry, and I heard of Agnes of Rome. It's circa 291 to 304. And Agnes of Rome was a 4th century martyr who was killed for refusing to marry a man who demanded that she renounced her faith. We go through things, Lord knows we do, but there are people out there who have it way worse than a lot. There's always somebody who has it way worse and way harder. I also learned about Mary Carpenter from 1807 to 1877, and Mary Carpenter was a British social worker who opened several schools for children, especially girls, in need. She also founded an industrial school for those who had been given prison sentences. Again, if you will, bow your head and close your eyes. I want to do a prayer for seeking God's will. Oh, Father, Lord, please calm the turbulence of our passions. Quiet the throbbings of our hopes. Repress the waywardness of our wills. Direct the motions of our affections and sanctify the varieties of our lot. Be thou all in all to us. And may all things earthly, while we bend them to our growth and grace, dwell lightly in our hearts, so that we may readily or even joyfully give up whatever thou dost ask for. May we seek first thy kingdom and righteousness, resting assured that then all things needful shall be added unto us. Father, pardon our past ingratitude and disobedience, our arrogance and ignorance and selfishness and spoiledness, and purify us, whether by thy gentler or thy sterner dealings, till we have done thy will on earth and thou removest us to thine own presence with the redeemed in heaven. I ask these things and pray in Yeshua's almighty name. I love you. Amen. Speaking of seeking God's will, back to Mary Carpenter. With that little story that I briefly told you about her, I have a prayer exercise for you. And it's more on the prayer. the prayer that I just did, seeking God's will. You need to focus on pleasing God in every single area. You need to spend time in prayer, going through each area of your life and the lives of your loved ones. Ask only for what aligns with God's character and purposes. Again, this is part of things that you will learn in being and abiding in God's Grace Ministries prayer warrior. You have to have a prayer strategy. I have prayers for Asking to Fear and a few others that we teach our prayer warriors that I would like to go over briefly. Hopefully they speak to you and you see all the different types of prayers that you should be doing, need to be doing, and that you can do in every single area, and come up with a prayer strategy for you in your life and for you and your family and y'all's lives. Again, becoming a prayer warrior with us, we can teach you these things and help you to come up with a prayer strategy for you and your family. If you would please bow your head and close your eyes. This is a prayer for Asking to Fear. O Holy Spirit, O Eternal God, O Christ, O love, come thou into my heart. By thy power, draw it unto thee, my God, and give me charity with fear. Protect me thou, O ineffable love, from every evil thought. Inflame me and permeate me with thy exquisite love, so that every pain may become a ray of light. My Holy Father and my sweet Lord, help me now in all of my ministries. Christ love, amen. My prayer exercise for you is, sometimes you forget to fear God. But the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, as you will read in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Ask God to help you fear Him today in reverence and awe. Ask Him to give you the kind of holy fear that leads to right action and wisdom. It reminds me of a woman named Catherine of Siena, from 1348 to 1380, I believe. Catherine was zealous for Yeshua, even as a child, when she would go to a nearby cave to fast, meditate, and pray. When she was 7, she told her parents she had seen a vision of Yeshua. She grew up to be a prolific Italian writer. She's known to write with a stick of cinnabar on parchment. As crazy as that can be. Now, how about a prayer to create conversation? Bow your head and close your eyes, please. Oh God, you know I have no money, but you can make the people do for me. And you must make the people do for me. I will never give you peace till you do, God. That is by Sojourner Truth. Now, while I have been giving you prayers out of the Bible and my own prayers, this one, the writer is Sojourner Truth. And Sojourner Truth was an African-American evangelist and abolitionist. She was born into slavery in New York State. Multiple masters abused her, And after being freed, she felt God call her to travel up and down the land, singing, teaching, and debating on the streets as well as in churches. She became a commanding presence and a powerful speaker with a charismatic personality. At the beginning of the Civil War, she helped to gather supplies for the Black Volunteer Regiments. In 1864, Abraham Lincoln invited her to the White House. She was born in 1797 and she died in 1883. Now, based off of this, I do have a prayer exercise for you. See, some may find Sojourner's prayer to be irreverent, even flippant, but it's not. Appreciate the comfort and trust Sojourner felt with God. She came to him with an unpretentious, no-nonsense cry for help. She added a dose of humor. Try praying to God as you would talk with a comfortable and thoroughly trusted friend, as you would your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, your best friend, the person who you confide in the most. Be utterly transparent and honest with God. Pray to Him as though you fully expect Him to meet your needs. Read Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. Now, how about a prayer to submit? I know a lot of people need guidance in that area. If you will, bow your head and close your eyes, please. Grant, I pray, O Lord, that with that lowliness of mind that befits my humble condition and that elevation of soul which thy majesty demands, I may ever adore thee. May I continually live in that fear which thy justice inspires, in that hope which thy clemency permits. May I submit myself to thee as all-powerful, leave myself in thy hand as all-wise, and turn unto thee as all-perfect and good. I beseech thee, most merciful Father, that thy most vivid fire may purify me, that thy clearest light may illuminate me, and that purest love of thine may so advance me that, held back by no mortal influence, I may return safe and happy to thee. My prayer exercise for you is to pray a prayer of complete and utter, humble and genuine, truly and fully complete submission to God. As you do, take time to search your heart before God, looking for areas in your life in which you haven't yet fully obeyed Him. If you find one, ask Him to show you how to honor Him in it. You know, I'm reminded of Vittoria Colonna, 1940 to 1547, and she was a Roman aristocrat and poet who actually helped to bring about the Renaissance. She was also a good friend of Michelangelo, who wrote most of his sonnets for her. I don't know why that just popped in my head, but it did. How about a prayer for God's companionship? This is one of my favorites. Please bow your head and close your eyes. Oh, continue thy loving kindness even unto the end, and when health and strength begin to decay, and I, as it were, draw nigh unto the grave. Oh, then afford me thy heart-cheering presence and enable me to rely entirely upon thee. Never leave me nor forsake me, but have mercy upon me for thy great name's sake. And not for myself alone do I ask these blessings, but for all the poor and needy, for all the widows and fatherless children, for the stranger in distress, for all the listeners, Lord, who are listening in, for all our subscribers. And may they call upon thee in such manner as to be convinced that thou art a prayer hearing and prayer answering God, and thine shall be the praise forever. I ask these things and pray in Yeshua's almighty name. I love you. Amen. My prayer exercise for a prayer for God's companionship is simple. See, loneliness is one of life's greatest challenges. Everyone faces it at some point or another. But no one needs to stay lonely, because God is always available and will give you caring people. Invite Him into your life today in a real and practical way. Ask Him to make you feel His presence. Then ask the same for those you love and those you don't even know. How about a prayer for gratitude? I'll just give you a couple more examples and then we'll close up. Just two more. Please bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, I often forget that you are the good shepherd. Not just any shepherd, but my shepherd. Help me remember you, who you are, and how you are faithful. Because of who you are and how you love me, I will never lack anything I need. You are always at work in my life, and your goodness and mercy will follow me each day until my very last. Lord, despite my daily circumstances, my cup is full. May I see and experience the fullness of your presence and the promise of your blessing. Remind me, Lord, to bring everything to you, because you care for me and you are actively working to restore me from the hurt and broken places that have affected my thinking and choices. That you are actively working to restore everything that the enemy has stolen from me. May I never live in shame, but instead learn to trust in the power of redemption, grace, and true love. I ask these things and pray in Yeshua's almighty name. I love you. Amen. My prayer exercise for a prayer of gratitude is that each and every single one of you say a prayer of gratitude to God for an aspect of His character. Thank God for specific individual blessings, both big and small. Acknowledge the Lord in His presence and all the blessings that He bestows upon you. Come up with a prayer strategy for yourself independently as an individual, and a prayer strategy for you and your spouse as a married couple, as an intimate prayer strategy between a husband and wife. And then come up with a prayer strategy for your children as a mother for her children, as a father for his children, as a husband and wife, as parents to their children together and individually. And then come up with a family strategy that is for you, your spouse, and your children all together. Your children should have one separately and individually as well. Let's end this with a prayer for decrease. Again, please bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I am so weary from fighting these same battles every single day. Reach down and infuse me with your supernatural strength, God. I have proven over and over that I cannot do anything worthwhile on my own power nor my own accord. Help me to get myself out of the way so that you can take my place, so that you may lead and guide me. Lord, please take away my desires for unhealthy things and unhealthy relationships and replace them with a desire for you and only you. only you, Father. For Father, you are all I want. Please decrease me so that you may increase. Thank you, Father, through Yeshua. Thank you for never giving up on me, even when I feel like giving up on myself. Thank you for never giving up on me, for no matter anything that I've ever done or said or thought. That even in times that I've questioned, that I've doubted, that I've turned away and against thee, in my most darkest hour, and in my rebellion and ignorance and arrogance, no matter what I've done, no matter what I've thought, no matter what I've said, you always waited for me, Lord, with open arms, wholeheartedly, loving and caring, with so much mercy and kindness and love. You never abandoned me. You never left me. You never forsaken me. You've never broken a promise, and you've never turned away from me. Thank you. Thank you so much. I beg of you, help me to get myself out of the way so that you can take my place, Lord. Please, I beg you, decrease me so that you may increase. I ask these things and pray in Yeshua's almighty name. I love you. Amen. My last prayer exercise for you is that you ask God for more of Him. But there are times you've unwillingly, or should I say, there are times you're unwilling to get yourself out of the way. But ask God to guide your entire day. Literally, ask God to guide your entire day today, your to-do list, your appointments, your desires, your speech, your thoughts, your actions, even your emotions. See how much peace comes when you let Him work through you rather than try to do it yourself. We love you all so much, and we hope that you all enjoyed this episode. We hope that you all truly, truly learned something. Again, if you want to become an AIGGM prayer warrior, which again is Abiding in God's Grace Ministries prayer warrior, email us at abidinginGod'sGrace@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Private message us or comment. Let us know. We also have a 30 Bible readings on being a prayer warrior that you will get free when you sign up to be one of our prayer warriors. We love you all very much. May God bless you and your families abundantly and immensely. Put on the full armor of God every single day before you even get out of bed, before your feet even hit the floor. Stay strong in the Lord. Repent and believe the gospel and pray without ceasing. Join us next time for another episode. God bless. Bye.